So welcome to our Shine Together CIC podcast for the month of April. And we're really honored and privileged to be joined today by Dr. Amira. Dr. Amira is from Amedics, an aesthetics clinic based in the heart of Leicester. So good morning, Dr. Amira.
Good morning, Liam.
I'm also joined by my co-host, Sandra Pollock, this morning. So hello, Sandra.
Good morning. Yeah, it's morning here. It's still morning. Is it? No.
It's
I
afternoon.
always get, I always look, I always start out with good intentions and get it all wrong. So it's just afternoon here, and it's an absolute pleasure to be here. And as you can tell, I'm the one that causes all the trouble. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Amira, would you like to just to introduce yourself to our listeners today?
Yes, absolutely. So my name's Amira. I'm a medical doctor by profession. So I've got 10 years of experience in NHS and aesthetic medicine. I did start my career off in emergency medicine. So just a general A&E doctor on the shop floor, dealing with absolutely everything from a broken toe to a diabetes crisis. And what I've now developed is an aesthetic and dermatology skin clinic in the heart of Leicester, as Leanne quite rightly introduced. We're called Amedics Clinic, and we focus on anti-aging medicine, skin health, and also wellness.
It's wonderful.
So, Mira, what made you make that transition then from, working in A&E and that sort of bustle of that into full-time doing aesthetics?
Okay, so as I explained, I did start my career in the NHS and I absolutely valued everything I learned there. The patient care, the communication, and it taught me a lot in terms of the resilience and having the empathy to with my patients. But I was sort of craving a connection with patients in a different way. I wanted to focus more on their quality of life, their self-confidence, and long-term results rather than just treating a specific illness. I was also, it also stemmed from the fact that aesthetic medicine is a highly unregulated industry. And I wanted to come through as an expert in this field to offer a very safe, ethical, morally supportive environment to work with the patient and give them the correct treatments for them. And I wanted to have a foundation where I can have a meaningful conversation. I can understand what people's goals are. I can make a tailored treatment plan that will genuinely make somebody feel a lot better and give them that self-confidence that they want in their life. So it's not just about injecting Botox or injecting fillers, it's helping people feel empowered. And that's what I wanted to create. So that's why I made that transition. I wanted to give people back that empowerment with themselves, with their confidence, with their skin. And what I've noticed when I've actually established the clinic, it's the transformation that we help with patients, helps them not only physically, but also helps them emotionally. And that's what I absolutely love about what I do now. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. And that's essentially why I left the NHS.
Fantastic. And it must be quite satisfying because you get an instant results in a lot of cases as well, aren't you? So you can absolutely see that difference in a lot of cases there and then. But what are your feelings, Amira, on the fact that it is unregulated? Do you think that's right? Or, because basically anyone can go and do a little bit of training today and become an aesthetics doctor, which in my personal opinion can be quite dangerous.
And that's exactly what you've said, dangerous. That's the word that we commonly associate it with it. And it's concerning. Not only is it dangerous, it's extremely concerning. I don't know if you've been watching the news recently, but there've been a couple of articles in the BBC where patients have actually lost their lives. So it's about the safety. That's what's so concerning. So there is a bit of a gray area in what comes down as a medical procedure. And because a lot of these treatments and these injectable treatments are newer, there's no exact regulation on where the medical professional classifies them. So do they come under beauty or do they come under medicine? And I hold myself to have a duty of care that protects my patients. So you'll see people on social media offering fillers, £50 or £60, and they'll be doing it from their front kitchen with no understanding about the facial anatomy or infection control. And that's what really undermines the credibility of the industry. And that's what puts patients at risk because patients are not informed enough in the sense of who they should be going to, what regulation means, what happens if they do get poor work done, who can actually fix a complication when a lot of these things should never even happen in the first place. There shouldn't be any complications, or there shouldn't be poor work being done if you're going to somebody who is regulated and somebody who knows exactly what they're doing in a safe, ethically responsible environment.
So, if I can pick up on that point, because I'll be honest, I know very little
Okay.
about this industry. And you know, Leanne just said, you know, that you could, someone could just almost just start up.
Yeah.
Is so, I'm going to ask you as a as an expert, is that truly the case? I mean, how can anybody just start up and start giving Botox or whatever the case may be? Do they?
Okay, let me answer that, Sandra. Yeah, that's truly the case. You, as an expert in your field in the marketing, you could go on a one-day course tomorrow and you could inject Leanne's face on Wednesday.
Wow. I did not know that. I honestly didn't.
I know, and with the greatest respect to you and your expertise, you have no expertise in anatomy at all, in the facial structures, in the vascularity, in skin, in any kind of medical background. So, you see hairdressers, you see plumbers, anyone and everyone. You see patients, you see people who have got no medical affiliation at all, no knowledge of the anatomy, no knowledge of handling complications. They get a certificate because there are accreditations that you can so easily pass, and because nobody's actually monitoring this. It's entirely unregulated. There's no law to stop you from doing that. So you can actually sign up on a course tomorrow that a teacher has put together with no medical background. She's taught you on a bit of lip fillers, and you can inject Leanne's lips on Wednesday with minimal knowledge.
Wow, I truly did not know that, and that concerns me even more as you're sharing this information, which I do think is hugely important that the average Sally on the street understands that that is the case. So, and therefore, there's two sides of that. How do you check someone is capable, and then if you have a problem, who do you go to? And I guess, you know, these are things that you've said, but, you know, these are questions that
Okay.
would be in my mind.
Now, if you take someone like myself, I'm regulated by the General Medical Council. So I'm a doctor on the medical register. So if you search the medical register, my name will appear. So firstly, you'll know that I've got an actual medical degree. And then I can also discuss how the different degrees work. And this is all quite, it's really easy to search someone online and it's immediate, their name pops up, and you'll definitely be able to see a registration number and which council they're registered with. So, if anybody is already registered with the General Medical Council, that should give you some reassurance that okay, they've got a registration with a medical body. So, if anything does go wrong, not only are you protected, but I've got a duty of care to abide by. I can't leave you without that continued care, as you've also got a portal to complain to. So if you've had treatment and it's not done in the way that it should be, we're regulated, somebody is governing us, somebody's checking our quality of work, which is exactly how it should be. So that's number one. Number two, you can also check to see if somebody's insured. So that's also a very important aspect, and legitimate practitioners will have full aesthetic indemnity and insurance, and that's definitely something that you should be asking. You should be asking if you're going to have treatments done. Another sort of issue is, I always say that have a look to see if somebody has actually got a regulated clinic. Where are they working from? And patient, you should be seen in a clean clinical environment. You shouldn't be seen in someone's kitchen or, someone's garden. It should be done in a very standardized way. And therefore, then you'll probably know that they're a member of a professional body. So it's those kind of factors that will immediately stand out. And if any one of those aren't met, then it could be a potential red flag. So that's how you can check if somebody is qualified to treat your face. Now, with that said, you will also have some medical practitioners that do aesthetic treatments maybe once a month or maybe once every 2 months. So although they are medically qualified, they're not a full-time aesthetic doctor or a full-time aesthetic medical practitioner. And it's then asking them about how much experience they've got. Because when I ask my patients, and if you ask the general public, you'd feel a lot safer in somebody who does this day in, day out, because you know that that's their remit, that's their area of expertise. Now, if I was still working in the NHS as an emergency doctor and I only did a bit of aesthetic medicine, maybe once a month, my level of expertise would obviously reflect with that, with what I'm practicing. So it's just important to check all of those aspects. And once they've ticked most of those boxes, you'd feel reassured that you're going to see somebody who's definitely qualified in that premise.
Right, that was really helpful.
Things that we touched upon was cost there, and you get what you pay for, don't you? So ultimately, somebody may come to your practice or look at your price list online or whatever, and then go, "Oh, that's expensive. I can get it done over here for 50 quid at my hairdresser." I think it's becoming so fashionable aesthetics within youngsters, and obviously they perhaps don't have the same disposable income, so they're going down those routes, which is quite scary, but it's driven by price, and you see it all the time, don't you? So what happens when they go there and then it goes wrong?
Okay, so I'll touch on this from the price element to begin with. Now, if we're talking about pricing in aesthetics, if you think about the way we run our clinic here, Amedics Clinic, we're a doctor-led clinic. So we've got every treatment that you have done. So let's take Botox, for example. Botox is a prescription-only medication. It's actually no different to prescribing antibiotics. So if you wanted your antibiotics, would you go to a hairdresser to get your antibiotics? Absolutely not, because they haven't got the medical knowledge to prescribe the correct treatment for you. Now, Botox is the same. It's actually a prescription drug. So to get Botox delivery, you need to write a prescription, and only a regulated medical professional should be doing that. So the first question there is, it's questionable where the beauticians or where anybody who's not, sorry, I had a call incoming. It's questionable there where beauticians or people who are not regulated are actually their Botox from.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, did I cut out again?
No, you
No.
go in, it's fine. Yeah.
Are they buying it on the black market then, Amira, or is it just being bought by a practitioner and then shipped out?
Either or. So there are
Yeah.
both of those that are concerns. There are some practitioners that do supply the unregulated industry, but they're also buying it. Then there's a huge black market. The same way it's so easy to buy a fake designer bag, it's that now to buy fake Botox because it's such a booming industry. So that's number one. And that's why a lot of places are cheaper, because they're not buying the real deal. And also, they don't have all the systems in place, making sure you're consented accurately, making sure the aftercare is provided, making sure we've got an in-house team to look after you from top to bottom 24/7. There's some kind of care with our clinic, and that all costs. So if we reflect that into our pricing, you're getting premium care, premium service, and yes, it's at a far premium price because of it, because of what's encapsulated with the care that we provide here at Amedics Clinic. Now, cheap treatments often cost a lot more in the long run, and you quite rightly pointed out, Leanne, that a lot of complications can happen. And we run complications clinic once a month at Amedics Clinic, where I've seen 18, 19-year-old girls that have won vouchers for lip filler and have paid, have won it in a raffle for £50, and have had a horrible, have had a low quality product injected into their lips, have come out with lumps, bumps, occlusions where you're blocking arteries that can lead to tissue death in that region. They've got nasty swellings, they've got a massive migration where the filler's actually poking outside from the top of the lip. And that's just because they're doing it by somebody who's totally untrained. They have no idea where to inject. And that's what we do here. We solve these, we get rid of the filler, we dissolve things out, we re-educate, and then retreat in a safe way where they're getting safe treatments. So your face isn't a place to cut corners. You wouldn't go to a budget surgeon, so why is there this budget
It's funny,
aesthetics?
isn't it? And
You want the
I
best.
think it's because it's become so popular. So that's driving the budget market
Absolutely.
with some clients, isn't it? Unfortunately. But like you say, why would you do that to your face that's, that's there and on display all the time. The whole intention is to make you feel better, look better, and suddenly you're seeing these. I mean, I see them all the time. Horrors, I would call them, walking around. So, is that based on the surgeon that they've been to, or is that and quality, or do you think people now are becoming dysmorphic to what they actually look like? So, you know, once
Both,
when
because we've got the rise of Instagram and Snapchat filters, TikTok, and all these celebrities face tuning their faces to make them look so different to what they look like in reality. And what this is doing is it's ingraining the younger population to sort of try to reflect to a level of beauty that's unachievable or unattainable. So they'll see the likes of Kylie Jenner or Kim Kardashian with flawless skin, with big lips, with high cheekbones. And a lot of that is Photoshop, or a lot of that is Facetune with filters. And they'll try to strive to achieve that level of beauty when they don't need it in the first place, or they need minimal treatments and they need to focus on skin health. So there is that BDD, that body dysmorphic disorder that we're seeing. And I see it every day. I see patients on the bed and they say, "Dr. Mira, I need to lift my cheeks." And I look at them and I say, "You're 25. You've not even got a saggy cheek. There's nothing there to lift." And that's why I educate my patients. I don't fill just to fill. If you've got volume loss and you're in your 40s or your 50s and you've actually lost volume, yes, we can fill to replace the lost volume. But if you're in your early 20s and you're coming to me for volumization, well, that's actually distortion of your anatomy. You're distorting your features, and you're enhancing them unnecessarily, which is only going to have negative effects in the future because that filler is going to have to go somewhere, and that filler stays in the body for a number of years, or it can migrate to other areas because it wasn't needed in that region in the first place.
quite scary then, isn't it? So would you refuse to do fillers if somebody walked into your clinic tomorrow and said, "I want high cheeks and I want this and I want," and if they wanted it, would you do it? Or ethically, would you say no?
No, I won't do it. And I actually had a patient this morning. She booked in to have her under eyes filled. She had them filled by me 2 years ago. She's a candidate who was appropriate to have them filled. She came back in and thought she needed them redone, but I said, "You've still got the filler in there." And it's about honestly telling patients, because then you verge on overfilling so quickly. So to answer that bluntly, no. If I will say no, and I say no all the time. And what I try to do there is advise appropriately, to make sure that they're getting skin health treatments done, or they're educated in the sense that they know that they don't need something doing so prematurely.
Yeah, it's
But
funny, isn't it? Because, sorry, do you go?
no, I that's fine. Sorry, I was thinking around, you know, in terms of saying no to people, and I know in business. I mean, I'm like you. I deal with authenticity and, you know, building trust and truth and that sort of stuff. But I think that people nowadays get really upset when they're told no about something that they particularly think they want or they deserve. And so how do you deal with that?
It's about taking on the responsibility and educating the patient in a clear way, but also politely. Now, I see this often, and what I try to do there is I try to put my patient's safety as my priority. And nobody can argue with that. If I say to, a 20-year-old girl that I've got on my bed, "You don't need enhanced cheekbones because I'm looking after your best interest and your safety," you'd have to be. You'd have to be totally deluded if you didn't understand and appreciate the fact that we're prioritizing your safety and your care first and foremost. And that's the most important thing to do. And also, a lot of the patients that are attracted to my clinic see the level of care, see our Instagram, have a look at our social media, have a look at our website, and they reflect with our ethos. And our ethos is mindful, subtle aesthetic treatments, but we focus on skin health. So if somebody came in and they didn't need something, it's about asking them and understanding why they think they needed it in the first place, and trying to develop the perfect treatment plan that's actually safe for them. And I don't think anyone with a level head would argue that their safety comes paramount. And if we're giving them a bespoke treatment plan that actually works, it might be different to what they anticipated, but it's coming from an expert, and you'll definitely be happy with dealing with that way, rather than forcing yourself to get something done just because you're hell bent on having something done because you've seen it online somewhere.
That's
Yeah.
good to know.
And I think as well, Amiri, you know, when we talked about and you touched upon, you know, these clinics that pop up once a month, pop up shop type things, and people go to them. And then, you know, if something goes wrong, that person isn't even available for them to get hold of the next day. And that's where I assume it can be like in some cases a life or death situation at that point.
Well, pop-up clinics are just a massive red flag. They might sound exciting, but if a practitioner is only coming along for a day and they're offering quick treatments on the day and it's fly in, fly out, well, there's no thorough consultation, there's no proper aftercare, there's no continuation if something goes wrong. So what happens if you do get a reaction or a complication and they're gone the next day? What do you do? Turn up to A&E, they have no idea how to get a filler out or how to dissolve things. And sometimes treatment complications are time sensitive. If you don't treat something promptly within 24 hours, it can often get a lot worse. So I'm totally against pop-up clinics. You should know exactly who you're going to. And even, you know, I'm the lead doctor in my clinic, but I have a team of professionals here now, that if I'm away, I'm actually flying out for a conference this week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I'll be teaching other doctors. But whilst I'm not here, there's a team that you can contact that you know you're in safe hands, even if you've had treatments done by me. There's somebody in the clinic as a port of safety for you. So pop-up clinics, massive red flag.
Would you do anything to lobby against this becoming regulated?
Oh, look. When we're talking about government legislation, it's so difficult to enforce something. There are numerous petitions. There are so many other doctors who share my thought process and share the fact that this industry needs to be regulated. And it's a constant battle to get it regulated. How many more deaths need to happen? There was one just last month in the BBC where a lady went to somebody to get some bum fillers done. And there's a huge amount of vessels in the bum, and she actually blocked one of her arteries that supplied the rest of her body, blocked it up with a whole load of filler, didn't get the appropriate care, couldn't get it taken out because of the sheer volume of filler she had injected in, and she died. And I think she was in her 30s and she had two or three young kids. So we're always fighting to get it regulated, but when it's a government legislation, it's so hard to pass law, and it will happen one day. We just don't know when. So it's just about continuing the education, do what you can. I educate all of my patients. That's the reason why we're doing this podcast, for further education of the layperson just walking on the street who has no idea. And the more awareness there is, the more education there is, hopefully that might jumpstart the legislation process.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as well then, Amira, we've talked about Botox and fillers, and obviously a lot of people have Botox and fillers, but there's obviously a lot more, isn't there, to health and aesthetics that you do there at the clinic. And like, there's a lot of natural style procedures as well. So talk us through some of those.
Okay, absolutely. We're in that stage where we don't just do Botox and fillers, okay? We're all about skin health. So it's all about regenerative medicine. So we're going away from freezing your muscles and plumping you up with fillers. We don't do that. Now, regenerative medicine is basically like repairing your signs of aging. It's about repairing your cells to produce more collagen naturally. So you can have injectable treatments, you can have lasers, you can have chemical peels, you can have energy-based devices. And these aren't quick fixes. These are long-term investments in your skin health. So it's about aging well, it's about stimulating your collagen, stimulating your elastin, and just aging really gracefully with a little bit of help with these biostimulators. So they don't actually add any volume to your face. They don't actually change your face shape or change you too drastically. All they do is improve your skin quality. So as you hit sort of your early 30s, that's how soon you lose collagen. It helps to re-stimulate and kickstart that collagen process so that you're aging less intensely as you get older.
That we don't hear a lot about that that side, that more natural side of things. And is that because, as you say, it takes a little bit longer and people are looking for more dramatic results?
A bit of both. What I'd say is regenerative medicine is not something that you do as a one-off. It's something that you've got to engage in every couple of months, and it's not about healing the root problem. It's about basically helping your skin age gracefully, but allowing the cells to slowly work to rebuild the collagen. And there's not a lot of education about it. People want that instant gratification. If you come into the clinic and you've got small lips, you want to walk out with big lips. You've seen that transition within one treatment. So it's just not as sexy as you say, because you don't get that instant gratification. And that's what a lot of people want. They want it now. They want something measurable and seen instantly. Now, what's actually happening is the industry is shifting, and we're trying to focus not on instant beauty, but we're trying to focus on skin longevity, aging prevention, and cell health. And that's why regenerative medicine and regenerative aesthetics is actually the future. So it's not about doing something and having that instant before and after. It's about doing something over the course of a period of time and actually aging really gracefully and not looking your age when you get to your age, because you've aged so well with the help of regenerative treatments. And I've actually written a really interesting blog, which I'm releasing next week. I saw a patient when she was 75 years old, and she looked at me and said, "Dr. Mira, I think there's just too much work you need to do. I've got lines and wrinkles everywhere. I've got sagging everywhere." And if I actually share you with you her photos, Sandra and Leanne, you'd be so amazed that we're 3 years on, but she looks absolutely phenomenal. It looks like we've taken 15 years off, but you can't even tell what she's had done. And she just looks in the mirror, and it was in preparation for her son's wedding, and she just thinks and looks in the mirror and says, "Wow, I actually can't believe that my concern was dealt with so well." She has had some fillers and Botox done, but we focused so heavily over the last 3 years on skin health. And although she's 3 years older, she's now 78. She looks absolutely phenomenal, and she looks so much younger than what she did look like when she came to me 3 years ago.
It's amazing.
Amazing. And Mira, I mean, I've been to your clinic, and and we've got an open day with you in May, which we're really looking forward to. So members do get booked in for that as well. But when you do the face mapping and you actually see the reality of what your skin and the damage that you've done to it over the years, because you don't see that just looking in a mirror either, do you? And so when it comes to the skin health, it's being aware of what you can do for that self-help and how you can help yourself. Because I'm a great believer that I don't want to have like Botox and fillers all over my face, but I do want to look after myself and age gracefully, let's say. So until I'd had that mapping done, I'd never had that before. And I think that that just demonstrates to you the level of care that, well, we either haven't done previously.
Well, what we do, it's a must. If you're booking in with my clinic, you can't just say, "You know what, I want to book in and have Botox done today." You can have that Botox done today, but before we do that Botox, face mapping is essential. Face mapping allows us to tailor the right plan for your face. So we can look at your skin, we can look at your pigmentation, we can look at your redness, we can look at the volumetric loss. We can look at any asymmetry, whether you've got one eyebrow hanging higher or lower, the density of each of the wrinkles at the side of the eye, the formation and the laxity of where you've lost volume in your mid-face, maybe forming those jowls. And we look at all of that, and no two people are the same. Even if we take yourself and Sandra, for example, how old are you both? Even if you don't want to share that, if we say we are aging, and let's say you're in your 50s, both of you have got such different face shapes, face features, and you really need that face mapping to give you the tailored plan. And that's what really sets us apart from every other clinic. We have a doctor-led tailored plan that allows you to understand why we recommend what we recommend and what kind of results you'd get from our recommendations. And that's what's so important. It's an essential part of our assessment process, and it changes everything.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'd never even heard of face mapping, before. I'll be honest, before you introduced it to us, so I'm quite excited to find out during our event at your clinic more about it. So looking
And
forward.
I'm excited to have you all here. I know Leanne's been to events at the clinic already, but I'm really excited just to host an event for the education and the awareness, and really talk about how my clinic, Amedics Clinic, sets themselves apart from every other clinic in the region, and how we're focusing on the full holistic treatment plan, how we do the face mapping, why we do it, and how we tailor each plan to really give you the best treatment, and really just to welcome patients into a premium clinic with premium services.
Yeah, looking forward
And
to
I
it.
think you feel that from the minute that you walk in the door, and that then gives you, doesn't it, the confidence, that ability that Dr. Amira obviously is a doctor, the cleanliness of the clinic, the different offerings that there's there. There's no pushy sales going on, so it makes you feel like you're in a safe environment at the minute you walk through the door, and it isn't like you need to have this and this. And one of the first things Dr. Amira said to me is like, you need to put 50 on your face every day. And I had quite a lot of redness on my face, and I'm very fair. And so, my aging was like literally sun as well, and down this part of your neck, and you'd put your cream on, your moisturizer all around here, but forgot to like rub it all down here. And it was that aging effects of certain things like that as well. So it's not, again, it isn't you just going, she's going, hey, let me do you some Botox and fillers and do whatever. It isn't that at all. And I think that there's a misconception there that people think aesthetics clinics are all about Botox and fillers, and
Although,
they're far, far more than that.
yeah, although we do a lot of Botox and fillers, we're not your average aesthetic clinic. We've built a dedicated space that actually focuses on quality, focuses on safety and the highest level of care from the treatments that we offer, but also the environment that we provide. So, like you said, Leanna, the minute you enter, you know that this clinic is the hygiene standards, the quality of everything, from meeting and greet to exit. We want the entire journey to be cutting edge. And you're seen by a highly skilled team, from myself as an experienced doctor to lots of other doctors that we've got in the team, or our therapists that are highly trained to give you the best treatments in aesthetic medicine. So it's not just about giving you the best treatment that's good for your skin, but it's also about the entire experience. And we never want you to feel rushed. So that's why we set ourselves as a luxury clinic. And it's the whole journey that really makes our clinic stand out.
I've got something to say here, which as I did warn earlier on, I'm the rebel of the two of us. So looking at you, Dr. Amira, you don't look, I don't know how old you are, but when I hear that the fact that you are a doctor, I hear a little bit more, earlier on about your journey, some of your journey, you don't look old enough to be in the role that you are in. And so is it genes, or is it that you know how to take care of yourself?
Look, I get this a lot, and look, age is just a number. And I'll be honest with you, I do a lot of skin health treatments. If you look at my face, Sandra, and you'll see me closely as well at the event, I don't like to overfill. You can't even tell where I have any Botox and fillers done because I don't do that aggressively. But what I've focused on since my mid-20s is skin health. And I religiously do collagen-inducing treatments because if you look at the science behind losing collagen, you start to lose collagen from the age of 28. So there's no better way than putting collagen back into the skin than skin health injectables or skin health treatments like energy-based devices. And I'm very much on the holistic side of things. I want to look natural, but I love looking young. I want to defy the aging process. I want to age very gracefully. It's a passion of mine. It's what I do for my patients. Why would I not want it for myself? So it's both. I am in my 30s. So I'm definitely old enough to be a doctor with the experience that I've got. I do run a very busy clinic. I'm a mum, so I've got the added pressures of having a young child to care for, and sleepless nights, and that all takes a toll on my skin health. But I invest heavily in skin health treatments, and that's why I'm able to look how I do look.
Yes, and well, it certainly is working for you because you don't even look as though you're in your 30s. So
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
it
And a good advert for your own clinic as well. Absolutely.
absolutely, absolutely. Yes.
Amira, how do you feel then? So you said that you do the like repair clinics or whatever you call them once a month. Feel about like fixing somebody else's disaster?
Oh God, you know what? It's that's on. Let me give you an honest answer. I do feel quite empowered and very compassionate when I help someone, because it's so emotional for them. So I don't often like taking on other practitioners' bad work, But if somebody's at that rock bottom and they need fixing, I don't take it lightly because your face is personal, it's emotional, you see it every day. And it actually drives people into depression, it drives people into lack of self-confidence. But when I give them the result that they want, I've had patients cry in my chair because it's really given them that empowerment back, and they felt so much more confident where they thought there was no answer to fixing their bad work. So it makes me feel incredibly, it's incredibly rewarding.
Lovely.
Like you say, it's your doctor experience, so that's enabled you to probably work out how to resolve some of these disasters themselves. Because no doubt the person initially went back to the clinic where they'd had this work done, and they're then unable to help them as well, because it is about then understanding the anatomy.
Exactly that. Not only are, unregulated practitioners unable to fix a botched job, if you actually look at, if you've injected fillers incorrectly, to dissolve the filler out, that's another prescription-only drug. And that requires a doctor or a medic to prescribe that to actually get it out in the first place. So if you've put something in that wasn't even legit, how are you then going to get it out? Because it's just very complex, and that's why regulation needs to happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to keep your doctor like qualification like current regular, is there anything you have to do, or once you become qualified, you could just continue to be on the GMC forever?
No, so we are assessed. We have to do an annual assessment once a year to make sure that we're up to date. We need to attend a number of accredited courses and continuous professional development. And then we have a 5-yearly revalidation. So every year we've got to provide evidence that we're, continuing our care, patient cases, that we're professional development to keep our registration active. And then at the 5-year mark, we undergo a massive revalidation process. Where we're assessed from top to bottom again to make sure that we're still safe, we're still ethical, and that we've been complying with the annual targets as we should be. So it's not just get your doctor's certificate and keep it for life. It's ongoing continuous professional development, ongoing training, and ongoing assessment to ensure that we're continually safe. Because you can easily get quite comfortable, even as the doctor, if you're not assessed, if you're not questioned, if you're not analysed and revalidated. So it's really important to continually have this done.
Yeah, and so it's medicines are changing, so it's keeping up to speed with your knowledge as well, isn't it, of the industry and around it. So brilliant. What's next then? So you've done so amazingly well. You've moved to the new clinic. You're established as one of Leicester's leading aesthetics doctors. What's next?
Okay, I've got some exciting things coming. I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to let everything out just yet, but we've got some fantastic new treatments coming to the clinic. Leanne, you're going to absolutely love this one. So we'll talk to you in a little bit more detail of when we've got it. I'm also bringing on 3 new team members. So we are growing our team, and these will be 3 new doctors that will be working with us. We're also excited to say that we're now open Monday to Sunday. I mean, I won't be in Monday to Sunday, but the clinic will be open Monday to Sunday. So that really gives more flexibility with time, and it opens up our diaries to really accommodate the ever-growing population of, and people that want to come to our clinic. I'm also excited to say that I do a lot of training now. So I actually train other doctors and other junior injectors to become an expert in this field. So there's lots going on. And those are just a few snippets of exactly what's to come.
Wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Wonderful, really exciting, and I do wish you all the best. And like, we'll just close out here to say, thank you very much for joining us on this podcast. But if anybody wants to know more, see more, see the clinic, then do go to the events page on Shine Together CIC, register for the event that we've got in at May, and come and see it for yourselves. Don't just listen to it here, actually come and see it and experience it. So really looking forward to that event.
Yeah, I'll be so happy to welcome you all. Wherever you are in your aesthetic journey, even if it's not something that interests you, come and have a look at the clinic. Come and have just a discussion. Come and have a look to see what we do and gain more awareness and education in this industry.
Absolutely. Because I think that knowing more about it, and I've learned a lot through just sharing and listening to you here, but actually, our education actually helps other people. Because we can share that information with others, our friends, family, younger people who don't know about it. So thank you so much for sharing.
You're most welcome.
Already.
Thank you very much both for having me on the podcast today. And I really look forward to welcoming you both to the clinic at our event in May.
Looking forward to that too. Thank you very much.
Thank you.